Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
My name is Dylan Mulvaney. I am a trans woman, and I am documenting my transition publicly on TikTok for the world to see.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Say what? What you talking about, Willis? What did? Play that again. I mean, I know who it is, and I know we're going to talk about him. Among assorted other issues. By the way, hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Patrick Madrid here, 888-914-914. And play that little snippet again. Just to set it up, this is a man who is trying to be a woman. And man, oh man, does he love attention. So
my name is Dylan Mulvaney. I am a trans woman, and I am documenting my transition publicly on TikTok for the world to see. When people started watching and the numbers kept getting higher, I realized quickly how public my transition would be. Of course, I knew that there would be backlash and negativity. I try to not let the internet's words hurt me or my spirit. But do you know what does hurt? Seeing people in power and authority figures creating laws and bills that are actively trying to harm us transhumans.
All right.
Especially
all right.
Trans children.
Settle down. Settle down. Settle down.
These laws that are hurting trans children from mutilating their bodies.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that. So, like, I hate to break it to you, Chad, but you're saying the reverse of reality here. So I want to get into this a little bit. 888-914-9149 is the number. So he is one of these TikTok people who, as you just heard him say, he really, really, really wants everyone to know every scintilla of thought that is coming into his mind as he's trying to change from a man into a woman. And of course, he's never going to become a woman. He's a man.
Like, and it's I'm sorry to break it to you, Chad.
Exactly. Where have I heard that before? He's, how can I put this? He is adopting every stereotype of a woman that you can imagine. So this denial, on the one hand, of the fact that women actually exist, I mean, as a category. As a category, as an objective category that is real, and real people really are women. That's reality, by the way. The basis for what he's doing and all the other people who are doing what he's doing, regardless of which direction they're going in, it is fundamentally, it's predicated upon this notion that that category doesn't actually exist. So by doing what they're doing, they are stating, it doesn't matter like what your body parts say or what your chromosomes say or any of those things. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be like the army slogan, be all you can be. But in terms of who and what you are, you get to decide that. Not God, of course. Not your parents. You know, not the doctor when you were born and the doctor says, oh, congratulations, Mrs. Smith, you have a boy. That person, they will tell you, that person assigns your gender at birth. No, that's patently false. There's no assigning going on. It's called recognizing. You recognize that this is a boy or a girl. Now, is it true that there are some rare but extant cases where there is an ambiguity? Yeah, they call that hermaphroditism. It is a medical condition, and there are other versions of that. So that is true, and that notwithstanding doesn't mean that, oh, well, that person's neither male nor female. It's just ambiguous at first. But a few quick tests and you can find out very quickly. So the thing I want to talk about here is, first of all, that this phenomenon is not going away. Please understand that, parents especially. This phenomenon is not going away. It's not a fad. It's not a fad that's going to run its course and then, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now, it's like back in the day when they used to be out there trying to catch Pokemon characters with their cell phones. That was a fad. And that was all hot and heavy for, I don't know, 6 months or a year. And then people forgot about it. They got tired of it and they moved on. This is not like that. This is a steamroller. This is a tsunami. And this is going to continue to keep pushing. I mean, take for example, what we have seen in the last 18 months of American embassies around the world flying just below the Stars and Stripes. They're flying the gay pride flag. It's an ideological hegemon. And hegemony is the goal here. And the goal, of course, is to force everybody to kowtow to this ideology. Whether you are, you know, whether you go along with it or not, you better kowtow to it. And it's going to continue. So there are some things that I want you to hear, including Dylan Mulvaney, this deeply confused, radically confused man who is, I can't imagine what kind of, you know, inner turmoil somebody must be in. And I feel for that person. I feel compassion. I feel concern. But it doesn't mean that at the same time, even though I have compassion and concern for people who are struggling with these issues, that we should permit them to dictate to the rest of us how it's going to be. So especially you parents, please take this seriously. And I'm not chiding you. I'm not grinding on you. I'm not trying to give you a hard time, because I'm sure that to some extent you already are. But I just want to encourage you and reinforce that sense of vigilance, that you make sure that your children are well-trained and they know what's real and they know why it's real and they know how to tell what's real from what's not real. Be one other really great reason to keep your kids as far away from TikTok as you possibly can for as long as you can. I don't know that that's inevitably possible, but those are some of my thoughts. And when you see the video of this man, you'll see that he, on the one hand, is denying this category of women. He doesn't verbalize that statement. What I'm saying is that that is the implication of this worldview, is that there really is no such thing as a woman. Matt Walsh has got a great new video out. I watched a new movie out called What is a Woman? Really good. And I would encourage you to watch it. And I would encourage you to watch it with your children so that they can be further inoculated against this ideology. They have to understand what is wrong with this. Otherwise, they'll get swept away. So he's denying, on the one hand, implicitly, the category of women. And yet he's adopting for himself just about every stereotype you can possibly think of for women. It's the strangest thing. So, Cyrus, I know we've got some audio queued up, and I'd like to come back to him because he also has a conversation with El Presidente. I haven't said that in a while. My wife told me yesterday, you don't say bingo bango anymore. How come? I said, you know what? You're right, honey. I need to start saying bingo bango again.
You don't say hairy legs anymore either.
Well, you know, if it comes to my mind, I'll say it. Not a topic I like to think about much, but... And what was the other thing? There was some other thing that she picked up on, because she does listen. And she says, there's some other thing that you used to say all the time.
Oh, I know. Cyrus, you were right and I was wrong.
I never say that.
I haven't heard that in a while.
I try to avoid that if I can. No. Oh, believe me, credit where credit is due, Cyrus. If you're right, I'll say it. So if you haven't heard me say it lately.
All right. What were you going to say?
I'm just kidding. No, the other one she says is you don't say a purpose-driven cup of coffee. And I said, honey, you're right. So I'm going to start saying that more often because I used to. So let's have a purpose-driven audio clip here. Do you want to go first to Tulsi Gabbard? I'm going to set that up first. You want to go? Okay. So here's the situation. Tulsi Gabbard, young woman. I think she might be maybe 40, but probably still younger than that. Former military officer. She was a Democratic congresswoman, and she's no longer in office at the moment. I don't know if she's planning to run for any other office, but she's a national figure, and she gave a speech just recently in which she said that she was departing. She was leaving the Democratic Party. She's checking out because it has just gotten so extreme. And President Biden and all of the above, they seem to be sort of coalescing around themselves. People like this gentleman that you just heard from a minute ago who thinks he's a woman. There's an ideological hegemony that is taking place, and she doesn't want to be part of it anymore. So she was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. I don't know what she's doing now. I don't know if she's become Republican or what. And I know, Cyrus, there are people out there who are going to type me furious emails giving me all the updates. You don't need to do that. And we'll find out in due time more. But here is her just in the last day or so giving a talk about this issue of the hegemony underway in our government to try to force all of yous out there to kowtow and bend to this ideology of the LGBTQ plus movement. So here's what Tulsi Gabbard, who just recently left the Democratic Party, here's what she's saying on the issue.
As we gather here this year, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the enactment of Title IX. Title IX was created out of a recognition of the biological difference between men and women, and we as women have had great opportunity.
Pause for a second. Okay, now, as you're listening, there is she's speaking to a large audience, and you will hear them clap here and there. But what you're hearing in the background are all of the hecklers. It sounds like demons in hell, if you ask me. And all these people who are at a further distance who are trying to shout her down because she's talking about the reality of women. They really do exist. It really is a category. And there really is such thing as a woman, objectively speaking. And they're howling in fury and impotence because they can't silence her from speaking what she's saying. And of course, she's saying the truth. And they're just infuriated by it. So as you listen to what she's saying, and I know it's annoying, but also keep an ear out for all of those people who are just beside themselves with fury that she's saying the basic truth. Roll it back maybe 10 seconds, Cyrus, so we could pick it up from there.
We as women have had great opportunity and advancement because of it. Where we are now today, though, is those in power are denying the existence of women. They are seeking to erase us as an entire category of people. And even more dangerously, they are denying the existence of objective truth. Without recognition that there is such a thing as truth, there are no boundaries in our society, which is why we are where we are today. Who is suffering as a consequence of these actions? It is the most vulnerable among us, our children. That is why we are gathered here today to stand up for our kids, to be their voice, because our kids are having their childhood stolen from them. I think there are a lot of you who are here who may be able to relate. Women here, I grew up a tomboy. I thought the boys were having all the fun. I cut my hair short.
Pause for a second. Now, if you're just tuning in right now, obviously that's not me. That's Tulsi Gabbard. She's a former Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii, I believe. And she has left the Democratic Party. That's sort of a side note, but it's just for context. And she's speaking out in the last day or so. This is part of her speech in which she's denouncing those who are trying, as she said, to erase women as an objective category. So let's continue.
I thought the boys were having all the fun. I cut my hair short. I wanted nothing more than to be a boy because it was cool and it was fun. But guess what? Life moved on. I moved on and I grew up. I cannot imagine the kinds of pressures that are happening with our kids today, with our young girls.
Pause. Do you hear how they're just furious? They can't handle the truth. And it just is so infuriating to them that all they can do is shriek and rage and grind their teeth and wail and gnash because she's speaking the truth and they can't silence her. So we'll finish the rest of it.
I cannot imagine the kinds of pressures that are happening with our kids today, with our young girls who are tomboys. This is what's at stake here. We have people who are undermining our parents, using the threat of the rule of law to take away their right and responsibility to raise our kids, forcing compliance and trying to silence those of us who are here to speak up and fight for our kids. Our kids need us now. They need to hear our voices speaking up for them. They need to hear your voices of courage.
There's one guy in the audience who's shouting, not the audience, but the hecklers, who's shouting, "You fascist." She's the fascist Because she's speaking the truth about the existence of women. Okay, there's only a few seconds left. Let's listen.
Your voice of truth. Exercise your right to free speech. Exercise your voice and cast your vote, because who in power matters. There is so much at stake here in this next election. It is nothing short than our freedom, the safety and security of our kids and our families, and our future. So don't let anyone silence your voice. Don't let anyone push you to the sideline. Stand up and speak out, because our kids, their well-being, and their lives are what's at stake. Thank you so much, everybody. Stand strong. Keep fighting. Aloha.
Mahalo. Yeah, that's good. That is really good. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Tulsi Gabbard. As I understand it, she's pro-abortion, or at least she would consider herself pro-choice, so we certainly don't agree on that. And there may be any number of other issues that she holds that different views from my own. So I'm not promoting her, and I'm certainly not endorsing her. What I'm saying is she's speaking the truth. And she speaks the truth in a very eloquent way. And you can gauge just how eloquent it is by how furious the other side is, because they can't stop her from saying it. They would if they could. You know that. If they possibly could, I could just picture people storming that stage. God forbid. So that's what's going on here. And her point also about this next election, I was thinking about that. I got an email from somebody, not yesterday. I got an email from somebody in the past week. And if you're listening right now, forgive me for not remembering your name. But it was a question to me, like, how come you don't talk about politics? You know, there was a time maybe when you talked about politics. This is the question being put to me. And although I didn't get a chance to answer the email, I can share with you right now. And the reason is because people begin to lose their minds very quickly. And I don't know. I know that it's a combination of decades of antagonism and hostility and suspicion and mutual recriminations that have been going on a long time. I mean, you know, before Richard Nixon, you know, during the Vietnam War and all of the above. I mean, it's not new, but it's accelerated and been exacerbated in, let's say, the last 5-6 years. The fierce animosity that exists between Americans on these political issues, abortion, Roe versus Wade. I mean, it's a real mess. So my real honest, candid, heartfelt answer to the person who wrote me this letter and asked, how come you don't talk about politics, is partly for your sanity, because people get polarized very quickly. And, you know, it's inevitably somebody will write, and I personally don't care. I have a thick skin, so I don't really care if people, you know, try to take out their anger on me. The delete button is right there. I can always use that. But there are people who say, oh, you're just a shill for the Democratic Party, or you're just a shill for the Republican Party, or you're just promoting this candidate or this president or this ex-president or whatever, or you're against us conservatives. It's just like mind-boggling to me. So not so much out of self-preservation, but out of wanting to preserve you and your sanity, and also be able to get the message out about other things that are much more important than that, as important as those things are, I steer clear of it as much as I possibly can. Sometimes it's impossible, especially in a political season. You can't help but have to talk about things that are in the news. But generally speaking, this is why you rarely, if ever, hear me talk about anything political, or at least that's what I strive to
do. But this isn't politics. I mean,
no.
Like this Dylan guy talking to Biden, I guess it turns into politics as soon as the president gets involved, right? Or there's legislature.
But also, just real quick, she's talking about the next election. So she's saying how you vote. I mean, that's the essence of politics. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I do agree with her, and I do really do agree. How you vote, of course, it affects the outcome of countries. Now, I know the cynics among us will say, yeah, but the elections are stolen and they're rigged. And I understand that's what the Democrats are now saying about this next election, the midterm and 2024. You're now seeing it out in the open all the time. Hillary Clinton just gave an interview, and she just said that within the last like 24 hours. She said that the extremists on the right are planning to steal this next election. I thought that we just went through this whole nightmare, you know, with with Trump and his people saying the very same thing. And of course, that was like the height of absurdity for people. And now those people who considered that message to be absurd and actionable, now they're the ones who are saying it in anticipation of these upcoming elections. So they're saying it. They're saying it. And all of that notwithstanding, I do agree with Tulsi Gabbard, even though I may disagree with her on many other issues. She's right about this. How you vote is going to determine your future and, more importantly, the future of your kids. And do you really want to live in a society that's controlled by people like that guy who thinks he's a woman? And the way things are going now, it's trending in that direction. So we have some audio, Cyrus. Let's save it for after the break. This is the one where he's talking to President Biden, right? That's the next one that's queued up.
That's right. And there's just a little bit more of that. It's like a little PSA, this guy that Dylan. Yeah. And you're talking about the politics of it. And I let me just play a couple seconds of this, because this is almost like a response to what Tulsi Gabbard was saying.
But do you know what does hurt? Seeing people in power and authority figures creating laws and bills that are actively trying to harm us trans humans, especially trans children. Our lives have become political talking points. Lawmakers in many states want to exclude us from participating in sports or getting proper health care. Some folks want to decide where we can use the bathroom.
All right. All right. Yeah, it's like the dentist drill. It really is. Yeah. But we'll hear more from him. Is that a threat or a promise? I don't know. But you will hear some more from him. And in conversation with El Presidente. Some people say, why do you say El Presidente? Just because it sounds cool. And that's the president in Spanish. That's all. Don't read anything more into it. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Yeah. Speaking of which, as Matt Walsh has asked in his new movie, What is a Woman? What is a woman? Is there any such thing as a woman? I'm here to tell you there is. I'm married to one. And all of us know that there are men and there are women, and that's a real category. It seems so ridiculous that we even have to say this. And yet we do. Because there are people, we just heard from one of them, who are hell-bent, I use the term advisedly, hell-bent on promoting this fiction.
Your hamburger really comes with a dose of misogyny.
Well, there's that. Say that again, madam.
Sorry.
Your hamburger comes with a dose of misogyny.
Thank you. Well, thank you at least for being attentive to reality. By the way, misogyny... Oh, and I got an email. I got to read this, Cyrus. You'll love this. Where did it go? This comes in from Margaret just a few minutes ago, listening in Maine. Hello, Margaret. Shout out. And Margaret says, our homeschool often hears new vocabulary words from your show. And today we've gotten a whole bunch this morning already. Thank you, Mr. Madrid. I don't know if Margaret's one of the kids or if she's the mom, but that makes me happy. So here's another one for you, Margaret. Misogyny. What did that lady just say, Cyrus?
Your hamburger comes with a dose of misogyny.
Okay. So pay attention, class. Misogyny is to be against women. And it's from the Greek word for woman. And you get the word, by the way, here's another word, although if you're a student in school, you probably don't need to know this word quite yet. It's called gynecology. Ask your parents about that word. But that also comes from the same root word for woman in Greek. So you can't be, and I'm no longer addressing the class anymore. Okay. Class dismissed. But do, I really like the fact that you're picking up on some good vocabulary words. That's good. You can't be misogynistic if there is no such thing as a woman. If you can only be what you decide for yourself to be, even though you may take unto yourself all of the stereotypes of what you think a woman is. And you notice that, look at the drag queens. I almost said drag kings because they're dudes, but they dress up as women. They put on the prosthetic you-know-whats and the makeup and the wigs and all of that, you know, stuff. It is the quintessence of what they think a woman would look like. You're still men, but the point is you can't be a misogynist if there is no such thing as women. And for that matter, men, of course. You're either one or the other. That's how God made you. And one of the Bible verses that comes to my mind every time this issue comes up is, let me just read this to you. Think about this. Ready? This is 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll begin in verse 5. And you tell me if you don't think that this conforms or is an echo of what we're seeing right now in this day and age. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you this, and you know what is restraining him now so that he will be revealed in his time? So he's talking about the man of perdition, the man of lawlessness. He says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you this, and you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time? I'm going to pause here. You know what's so frustrating, I guess is the right word for it, is that they knew what it was that was restraining the man of lawlessness, but St. Paul doesn't tell you and me. He doesn't feel the need, I guess, to say it because he knows that they know what it is. I would sure like to know what it is. Is it St. Michael the Archangel? Is it, and there are many different theories that people have as to what is the restrainer that he's talking about there. So without getting into what the restrainer may or may not be, the fact is he says that something has been restraining this man of lawlessness. And at a certain point, when the restrainer no longer does this is verse 7, here's what's going to happen. He says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Who is that? I mean, there are theories. So when he's out of the way, then St. Paul says, the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his appearing and his coming. Oh, by the way, Jesus, he metes out capital punishment, just FYI. Jesus himself will inflict capital punishment on the lawless one. Just something for your good-to-know file. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish. Now, here's what I really want you to focus on. With all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, not trying to ruin your day. I'm not saying that, you know, the Antichrist is here. Could be. Hope not. But what I am saying is that this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, to my mind, is very redolent of what we're seeing right now. That with all wicked deception, those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. This sure seems like a strong delusion to me. So with that in mind, let us proceed now. And we're going to hear, Cyrus, set up the audio for me, please. This is going to be Dylan. What is Dylan's last name again?
Dylan Mulvaney. He's a 25-year-old. I think he's from San Diego. That has been transitioning into a woman and using TikTok to become an influencer. And so this is what our kids are watching on TikTok.
And he's now going to have, and this is, we're going to go to his conversation with the president?
With the president, yeah. So okay. He is sitting down with the president of the United States to talk about how the other side wants to not allow children to...
we're harming transgender students by not permitting them to chop off their genitals and assorted other body parts. That's effectively what he's saying.
That's right.
They call that gender affirming health care, of course, but let's listen to what he has to say.
Mr. President, this is my 221st day of publicly transitioning. Thank you. I am extremely privileged to live in a state that allows me access to the resources I need, and that decision is just between me and my doctors. But many states have lawmakers...
Wait. I thought that decision was between you and the rest of the world, because you're making sure that everybody everywhere knows about your transition. It doesn't sound to me like it's really between just you and your doctor. But that's just me. Go ahead.
But many states have lawmakers that feel like they can involve themselves in this very personal process. Do you think states should have a right to ban gender-affirming health care?
I don't think any state or anybody should have the right to do that. As a moral question and as a legal question. I just think it's wrong.
A moral
question. I feel very, very strongly that,
a moral
that you
question.
Should have every single solitary right, including use of your gender identity bathrooms in public.
Thank you. And it feels like Republicans have turned trans and non-binary people into this thing to blame society's downfall on in some ways. And this narrative is not only dangerous to our mental health, but also our physical safety. How can Democratic leaders be more effective in advocating for us trans people and our families and our lives and our opportunities?
I'm not being facetious when I say this, being seen with people like you. No, I mean it. I genuinely mean it. People fear what they don't know. They fear what they don't know. And when people realize, individuals realize, oh.
Let's pause, because this is just hot air anyway. People fear what they don't know, like reality. And if you don't know reality, you're going to fear it. I guess this is what Joe Biden is saying, and there's some truth in that. These people don't want to acknowledge reality. And so they do indeed fear you, because if you're speaking the truth in love and you are anchored in reality, there are men and there are women. Nobody is non-binary, and so on. They fear you to the point where they you heard those people howling in the background who wanted nothing more than to silence Tulsi Gabbard for what she was saying. They wouldn't even listen to her. So there is some truth in a backward sort of way in what Joe Biden is saying. But what a laughable thing when he says that, you know, on a moral ground, nobody has the right to deny gender affirming health care. What that means? Do you understand what that means? Gender affirming health care? It means puberty blockers. It means life altering bodily mutilation. I don't think I need to explain that. I mean, you know what that means, right? And they're doing this to children. This is the whole context of what they're, you know, banging on about, is about, oh, we're doing it for the children. We need to help the children. We need to protect the children. They're the ones doing this to the children, lopping off body parts, etc., disfiguring them for life, sterilizing them. And these are children. And, I mean, you heard Tulsi Gabbard. A few minutes ago, she was saying when she was a girl, she was a tomboy and she liked hanging out with the boys and dressing like the boys, and she outgrew it. And I'm quite sure that she very much enjoys being a woman, if I had to guess. So children go through phases. Not all of them do. Maybe not even most of them do, but some of them do. They go through phases. They are attracted to masculine things in the case of girls, or even perhaps feminine things in the case of guys, but not so much, I don't think. I think that it's far more, at least anecdotally from my own experience, it seems far more prevalent that a girl might be wanting to be a tomboy than a guy would want to be feminine, although that does happen. But as you grow through these phases in your life, and you mature and you know yourself better and you understand the world better. And you know, let's face it, you understand reality better. More often than not, you move through these phases and everything is fine. If you have good parents who are vigilant and trying to help you and not just go along to get along and not just say, oh, well, okay, if you think you're really a girl, okay, we'll play along with that. If anything, not to mention just the, you know, the people with the scalpels in hand. Woe to you, by the way. Woe to you, people with scalpels in your hands that are doing this to these children and others. Woe to you. Repent before it's too late, because I tell you what, I'm not looking forward to my exit interview, but I want to be nowhere near your exit interview when the time comes. Woe to you. But I must say also that for the parents who are pushing their children in this direction, three-year-olds don't get this idea out of nowhere. And don't even get me started on the drag queen story hours, which are, it's an intentional effort. It's a systematic, intentional effort to indoctrinate children as young as possible. We're talking about toddlers and up, to see that as normal and fun and something that, yeah, drag queen. Is there more? I don't know how much more I can take of this, Cyrus. Is there any more that we should listen to of this interview with the president?
Well, I think the president says something here that you'll actually agree with.
I'll just let him talk.
I mean, people change their minds. People are just don't know enough to know.
Boom.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Too bad that's not what he was talking about.
It took you long enough.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Cyrus, I got an email from Christina. She says, hi, Patrick. In light of all the political talk out there, here's a lighter question for you. Have you watched The Chosen? And if so, what do you think about it? Thanks. And thank you for not talking about politics. Poor Christina is probably unhappy right now. Thanks, Christina. Yeah, I saw one episode of it and I thought it was good. Didn't have any, you know, nothing negative to say. I know people who really like it. But anyway, back to this issue. This is not politics. Well, I guess in a way it is politics, because guess what? We now, we're seeing this political party, and you know, these names are not unpronounceable, Democrats, Republicans. We're seeing this political party transmogrifying into the party that is against reality. I mean, it would be one thing if you're like the party that's pro this or pro that, or you know, even pro abortion, you know, people disagree on whether or not that's an actual human life. And, you know, it all of this is trending now more and more into this blatant, explicit rejection of reality. The strong delusion that St. Paul talks about. I think that's exactly what's going on here. A strong delusion that makes them believe what is false because they refuse to love the truth. So thanks for that last little bit there, Cyrus. Appreciate it. There's only so much of this that I can take in any given moment. So small quantities, of course. But would you kindly post these items so that people who want to see them can find them?
You got it.
All right. Thank you. And be careful how you post it, because the Twitter snipers are out there. And you just want to report the news is all. I'm coming right back. Cyrus will be with me. Don't worry. Please stay right there. Yeah, Cyrus is looking nervous. 888-914-9149. Let me ask you, can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Well, Cyrus, did you note the passing of a gentleman by the name of Amu Haji? He died at the age of 94 yesterday. Did you take note of that?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't.
He's known as the dirtiest, the world's dirtiest man.
What? Are you pulling my leg?
No, no. New York Post article this morning, world's dirtiest man, Amu Haji, who last showered 60 years ago. He just passed away at the age of 94. And there's some pictures that accompany the article. And may I say to you, I think he lives up to that description.
I just can't help but think of Pigpen from the Peanuts cartoons.
Yeah.
It's just this swirl cloud of dirt and dust following this guy around.
Yeah. Poor guy. I mean, well, anyway, I mean, it's in the news right now. So I just thought you might want to know about that. So
thanks.
Don't do what he did. I don't recommend it. Can you imagine going 60 years without a shower? But hey, I know something even worse than that. You want to know what's worse than that?
I think my kids are trying to beat his record.
You know what's even worse than that and even more mind-boggling is going years and years and years without going to confession. Boom.
Boom.
That's even worse. Even worse, because as dirty and whatever as your body can get if you don't wash your soul, it's much, much worse if you don't go to confession. So don't be like that guy. And even if it's just your spiritual life, go to confession. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go now to Roseanne in LaGrange, Illinois. Hi, Roseanne.
Hi, Patrick. I have an almost 21-year-old daughter, only child.
Okay.
And she's socially transitioned. She lives with us. And so she uses a male name at school and work. And what I want to bring up is it's a political thing, yes, and it's also the social media end of this, the internet use. My kid, she didn't have a phone until college that she could even get on the internet. We raised her in Catholic schools, both, you know, grade school and high school. And it's like as soon as she got on the internet, it was a vortex. It sucked her in. And she already had friends who were in the LGBT group from high school. And here was a kid who's, okay, nonconforming, but she wasn't, wasn't a tomboy per se. And, you know, whatever it was, maybe she's autistic and we have to figure that one out still. But the point is that these kids, all of them across the board, it's an epidemic, especially with the girls. But to have this also enforced almost upon us through the government and schools and everywhere, wherever you walk and wherever you go, it's forced down our throats. It's like,
and that's what I mean. That's what I mean, Rose, not to interrupt, Roseanne. That's the hegemony that I'm talking about. It's a conquering force that wants to subjugate everything and everyone. This is one reason why the gay pride flag has been flying. Amazing to think about this, but it's been flying at American embassies. I don't know if it's still being flown right now, but you know, just below the American flag. You're absolutely right. This is it's a conquering force. It's not just a fad. It's not just something that will run its course and be done with it. The end game is to force everybody into submission. Whether you agree with it or not, you have to at least go along with it. And you're living that right now. Yep. What are some of the things that you have to deal with?
Well, of course, I'm totally blocked off of any of her social media, so I have no idea what she's posting. I have no idea if she's influencing anyone else, which is scaring me to death. I'm panicked about the future. My husband and I are praying daily rosaries. We're going to adoration. We're going, of course, to confession. We're like doing everything we can. I'm not to the point where I've been able to talk to a lot of people about this, but those who I have spoken to, so many are drinking the Kool-Aid. It's so hard to have discussions with people and just say, why would you want your child to go through this? You really are fine with your kid removing their breasts or, you know, if it was a boy you know, other body parts. I mean, it's insanity. And I don't even know. I can't even get, some days I can't even get through the day. And other days I'm like, okay, I'm getting, you know, getting through. Okay. But it's a nightmare.
I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry for you and your husband and your daughter as well. And I wish I had something, I wish I had a something I could say that would be like, oh, just try this or do this and it'll be okay. And I don't. That's the mystery of this terrible insidious ideology. It defies
it's
reality.
Demonic,
you
and
know.
I hate to say it like that, but it is. To me, it's diabolical.
I agree. And which makes it all the more heartrending when you see your own flesh and blood going down that road and just impervious to any effort on your part to reason with her. But this doesn't mean, and let's talk a little bit about hope and encouragement here, though, Roseanne. It doesn't mean that this is unstoppable. Because what does Jesus say? For man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Even this is not impossible for God. And so your faithful, steadfast, loving mother's heart and prayers for your child, I mean, that will have a powerful effect. Of course, this is also true for your husband. Dads and moms have a privileged place in God's eyes. I want to share a Bible verse with you, if I may. And
yes,
I hope this gives you a little bit of comfort, okay? This is from Proverbs 31:25, and it's what they call a dynamic equivalence translation. So here goes. She is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. She's not laughing at the future. She's not laughing to be flippant, but she's not fearful of the future. So she's not robbed of her joy. She is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Proverbs 31:25. I think that's
something to cling to. Yeah, I'm also clinging to the divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes. Even when things seem bleak, Jesus is still there.
And I'll leave you with one more thought. I don't know, divine intervention somehow introduced me to Father Donald Calloway, who was a teenager who was very wayward. His mother was going through a lot of stuff herself, and then eventually she converted, and then he converted, and now he's a priest. And his story is where I take hope. And I pray to St. Monica.
Yeah, he was a hoodlum, right? He was in Japan, and he was an army brat or navy brat or something like that. And I think the Japanese police were like ready to imprison this kid. And talk about a real turnaround.
Him out of the country.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, he was into a lot of bad stuff, drugs, alcohol, and fornication and all that kind of stuff. So
look how the Lord saved
hope
him.
And I just, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Rose. You're welcome. And we will pray for your daughter. I promise you that. You don't need to say her name, but we will pray for her. And maybe you can join us and join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America, knowing and call in and let him know that you'd like everybody to pray for your daughter. You don't have to give her name, but you can really harness the power of prayer. So the Family Rosary Across America is every evening at 7 p.m. Central. Thanks, Roseanne. Oh, so much anguish. And once again, Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we need to remember the victory of Jesus in the midst of all these adversities. And if you stay close to the Lord and keep going forward, keep doing what's right, speak the truth in love, be compassionate, but be true to yourself and to your convictions. Don't go along to get along. It'll be okay. It'll take a ways to get there, but it'll be okay. Let's go now to Teresa in Philadelphia. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Patrick. I just wanted to say that there is a ray of hope because in the UK, they have just announced a national policy of disallowing transgender surgeries on minors because they have recognized that gender dysphoria is largely a transient phase and that based on the data, the surgeries don't really result in positive outcomes with regard to anxiety and depression and all that. So they are now recommending strictly psychotherapy for children with gender dysphoria to address underlying conditions of anxiety and depression. So I feel like there's hope because
there is hope. And I don't want to pop the balloon, but just keep in mind that the Tories are in power right now, and they have been for over a dozen years. If Labour gets back in charge again, Keir Starmer and the Labour Party, And they're poised. If there were a general election in the UK, they probably would win. And if they get back into power again, this will change. So the National Health Service is operating on the basis of what the governing party mandates. And if the Tories, with all their faults, if they leave power in England, I think you'll see it turn the other direction again if Labour gets back into power.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to pop the balloon. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, but elections matter. You're right. Elections matter right now more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's for sure. And we are seeing it here in this country. So I'm happy to hear that the National Health Service in the UK is doing that. And I hope it sticks, but I have a feeling eventually it won't. But in the meantime, though, you're right. We need to be active and proactive and vigilant in this country. Because honestly, if enough people just sit back and say, well, it doesn't affect me, doesn't affect my kids, or I don't have any kids anymore, we're going to be living in a nightmare world in the not too distant future if we don't stand up against this in sufficient numbers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, Teresa. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We only have a few seconds before the top of the hour, but I am going to come right back to your phone calls. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Please remember what I mentioned to you, well, really every hour this past week or so, that starting on November the 2nd, going through November the 10th, we are having a novena here at Relevant Radio for your family and friends who have passed on. And we're going to be praying for them that they will be in heaven as soon as possible if they're not already there. So if you'd like to submit up to 20 names of your departed loved ones, just go to relevantradio.com/souls and let us know their names so we can pray for them. I'll be right back.